Last year, I would have expected to hear about a funeral. This year, with the werewolves barely having admitted their existence to the world, Bran would probably be more circumspect. Whatever that would mean. Adam opened his eyes and looked at me. In the dimness of the room, he'd only turned on the small light on the little table by my bed, his eyes looked black. There was a bleakness in his face that hadn't been there before, and I knew it was because of me. Because he hadn't been able to keep me safe. And people like Adam take that pretty seriously. Personally, I figured it was up to me to keep me safe. Sometimes it might mean calling in friends, but it was my responsibility. Still, he saw it as a failure.
"So, have you made up your mind?" he asked.
Would I accept him as my mate, he meant. The question had been up in the air too long, and it was affecting his ability to keep his pack under control. Ironically, what happened with Tim had resolved the issue that had kept me from accepting Adam for months. I figured if I could fight back against the fairy magic potion Tim had fed me, a little alpha mojo wasn't going to turn me into a docile slave either. Maybe I should have thanked him before I hit him with the tire iron. "Adam isn't Tim," I told myself. I thought of Adam's rage when he'd broken down the door to my garage, of his despair when he persuaded me to drink out of that damned fey goblet again. In addition to robbing me of my will, the goblet also had the power to heal, and I'd needed a lot of healing by that point. It had worked, but Adam had felt like he was betraying me, believed I'd hate him for it, but he'd done it anyway. I figured it was because he wasn't lying when he said he loved me. When I'd hidden in shame, I put that down to the fairy brew because I knew I had nothing to be ashamed about. He'd pulled my coyote self out from under his bed, bitten my nose for being foolish, and held me all night long. Then he'd surrounded me with his pack and safety, whether I needed it or not. Tim was dead, and he'd always been a loser. I'd be damned if I was going to be the victim of a loser, or anyone else.
"Mercy?"
Adam stayed on his back on my bed, taking the position of vulnerability. In answer, I pulled the t-shirt over my head and dropped it on the floor. Adam was off the bed faster than I'd ever seen him move, bringing the comforter with him. He had it wrapped around me before I could blink, and then I was pressed tightly against him, my bare breasts resting against his chest. He tipped his head to the side, so my face was pressed against his jaw and cheek.
"I meant to get the blanket between us," he said tightly.
His heart pounded against mine, and his arms were shaking and rock hard.
"I didn't mean you had to sleep with me right now. A simple yes would have done."
I knew he was aroused. Even a regular person without a coyote nose would have known it. I slid my hands up from his hips to his hard belly and up his ribs and listened to his heart rate pick up even further, and a light sweat broke out on his jaw under my slow caress. I could feel the muscles in his cheek move as he clenched his teeth, felt the heat that flushed his skin. I blew in his ear, and he jumped away from me as though I'd stuck him with a cattle prod. Streaks of amber lit his eyes, and his lips were fuller, redder. I dropped the comforter on top of my shirt.
"Damn it, Mercy."
He didn't like to swear in front of women. I always counted it a personal triumph when I could make him do it.
"It hasn't even been a week since you were raped. I'm not sleeping with you until you've talked to someone, a counselor, a psychologist."
"I'm fine," I said, though in fact, once distance had released me from the safety he brought with him, I was aware of a sick churning in my stomach. Adam turned so he was facing the window, his back to me.
"No, you're not. Remember, you can't lie to a wolf, love."
He let out a breath of air too forcefully to be a sigh. He rubbed his hair briskly, trying to get rid of excess energy. Obligingly, it stuck up in small curls that he usually kept too short to look anything but neat and well-groomed.
"Who am I talking about?"
he asked, though I didn't think the question was directed at me.
"This is Mercy. Getting you to talk about anything personal is like pulling teeth at the best of times. Getting you to talk to a stranger."
I hadn't thought myself particularly close-mouthed. Actually, I'd been accused of having a smart mouth. Samuel had told me more than once that I'd probably live longer if I learned to bite my tongue occasionally. So I waited, without saying a word, for Adam to decide what he wanted to do.